because I'm from that strange island that's sort of across the water in the mist called Britain. And these are quite important over there. Potatoes. And some people like them mashed, and some people like them fried, and lots of people like them as chips. Sorry, speak proper English. Fries, because we've got to speak American English, sorry. And but actually, for lots of us, especially in my family and my kids, they like them one particular way, and that's roast potatoes. And you've been doing a series about prayer, and Christmas is coming, and there is a link between these two things. We're going to read a bit of the Bible, and then we'll come back. So I'm going to read some verses that I know you've already touched on in recent weeks, but I just want to read them again. So from Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, and they can be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. So when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, because they think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Pray then like this instead. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then nor will your Father forgive you. When you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces so their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. When you fast, anoint your head with oil. Wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, will reward you. And then just over in chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, even if you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Great stuff. That's probably enough said. We could just go and have coffee now, just reading that. We can put that into action. Now, I was talking about these roast potatoes. Now, not only is that important in this time of year for us Brits, actually, we go for the roast dinner. And in fact, before then, of course, in a few days' time, if you're American here, of course, it's Thanksgiving coming up. So I've got to say happy Thanksgiving. So this Thursday, I will be at the Thanksgiving service in Leiden. I sneak in as a Brit and do a Bible reading. And I will be at the Thanksgiving meal this Thursday evening. Looking forward to it. But roast dinner comes along the way. And they have all kinds of things there, including one of these things at the front called sprouts. Brussels sprouts, sprouches. And there are certain foods in all cultures that people either love or hate. Quite a few cultures have Marmite, for example. Some people like it. Some of your faces have just had an allergic reaction to even the mention of the word. So, and it's the same with these things. So I just want to ask, how many people like these? Wow. We'll pray for you afterwards. Okay. You got some serious praying to do here, Matt. So, how many people do not like these? Oh, kindred spirits. So, and how many people have never tried them? There you go. Be blessed. So, I do like vegetables, but sprouts or chocolate, it's chocolate. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, okay, there you go. Anyway, so you should have spoken so soon, you see, so never mind. So, but yeah, this roast dinner thing. Now, can I have the next slide up? I want to show you a guy. This guy is called Andy Park, apparently. I've never met him. And he's nicknamed Mr. Christmas. And I looked up about him on Google and I tried to cross-reference to say, is this real or not? But it seems to be. He eats a Christmas meal every day of the year, apparently. Since he's been doing this, he's sent himself more than 235,500 Christmas cards. Someone a little bit worrying there, but never mind. Every day, he eats a breakfast of a turkey sandwich and mince pies. Now, mince pies, if you know what they are, they're like a pastry thing with like a sweet meat thing inside and the hell lecker, and I'm getting hungry, so I'm going to stop talking about that. But they're really nice. In an interview, comes home after work and he has a full roast turkey dinner before he puts a DVD recording of the Queen, the British Queen, not the Dutch Queen because she's retired, but the British Queen who refuses to retire, puts her speech on, and that's another story. But Prince Charles, if you know who he is, it's never going to happen. You know, just pray for him, poor guy. So they watch the Queen's speech. In an interview in 2006, he was quoted as saying that over the previous 13 years, he had eaten 4,380 turkeys. So, pretty dangerous if you're a turkey, if you know this guy. 87,600 mince pies. And to come back to these little objects, 26,280 roast potatoes. Whoa. His doctor did warn him that his diet might be affecting his health. Yeah, okay, that takes a great medical revelation. So I can see why all of you who've trained in medicine, 6 years to be able to point out, that's not very good for you eating all that. So now prayer. Imagine taking Andy Park's approach to prayer. The past few weeks, you've looked at different aspects of Jesus' teaching about prayer, gratefulness, giving and receiving, forgiveness, childlikeness, and perseverance. But imagine we came to prayer like Andy Park does to food. Same meal, every day, always the same way, always on his own. Doesn't sound that wonderful, really, when we get below the surface of it. It sounds very formulaic. Has to be done this way. This is the only way we can pray. This is the only way we can do it. Or the visiting speaker comes, you know, Exhibit A, and they come in and they come and talk about prayer, and they say, well, yes, this morning when I was up at 4 o'clock seeking the Lord in my normal 3 hours a day before I go to work, and we all sit there and we slide down the chair, and this way, it's a beautiful day, but it's like the dark clouds come upon us of guilt and defeat, and we're like, oh. But then we're good little Christians and we know we're supposed to pray and we go, oh, amen, yes, yes, that's right. Yes, 4 o'clock this morning, yes, I'll have to try that. And maybe we do. And we get up the first morning and, yeah. Maybe we even make it the second one. It's more of a, yeah, okay. And we feel defeated by it. So today, what I want to just do in a few minutes is just hope to encourage us about prayer. And just to look a little bit about how Jesus prayed, not just what he taught, but how he prayed. And maybe that gives us some hope and some encouragement. And one of the things I want to say today is if we're followers of Jesus, we're united together in Christ, but actually we're all different. And we're different personalities and we're wired different ways. And that's okay. And there isn't a one-size-fits-all way to pray. And things which might work for me, they may be a help to you. But actually, maybe something different works for you, and that's okay. First thing about Jesus praying, we'll get rid of Mr. Park and his Christmas dinners. Different times. I've met people occasionally say, you know, it's really spiritual. You have to get up and seek God in the morning because otherwise the day is not going to go well. Well, Jesus' record, he prayed at different times. Sometimes he did pray early morning, but also we got records of him praying in the evening. And we got records of him praying at nighttime, and on one occasion of staying up throughout the night. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's more spiritual to stay up the entire night to pray than it is to pray for a couple of hours. That's got to be about God's leading. You know, I know some of the young people here stayed up all Friday night for their lock-in, and, you know, because that's just youth thing and that's cool to do. But there's different times we can pray. And some of you here, well, let's find out. Who is a morning person here? Not very many people. Yeah, so if someone comes along and says, you've got to seek God in the morning, That's maybe not going to work for you. How many people are evening people? Okay. And some of you sort of warm up around midday by the looks of it. So is that right? So, yeah, so that could be a little bit more challenging if you're in your university lecture. Sorry, can you stop talking? I need to pray. Okay, I mean, that could be difficult or workplace. But find a time that works for you. And there's going to be life seasons as well. I'm generally a morning person. But I tell you, when our kids were little, it's okay now they're teenagers because they don't emerge before about 2 p.m. No, so, when I was, they were little, you know, I can't say, Anna, JJ, stop crying, I'm seeking God. Okay, you know, you've got to go with the rhythm. And it's okay. And in fact, some people who go on about morning is the most spiritual time, because it shows it in the Bible. Well, actually, the Jewish day started at when the stars came out the night before anyway. So if you want to say it's right to pray at the start of the day, you evening people have got it. Yeah, you're the ones. Yeah, you are the ones. People like me, we're not quite on your level, sorry. So, but find a time that works for you. He also had a variety of focus in his prayers. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in formula and so on. But Jesus prayed about all kinds of things. Prayers of thanks, we have recorded. Prayers in praise to God the Father. And of course, you know, Jesus, fully man, fully God. There's some mystery to that, Trinity and so on. But he gave praise to God his Father in heaven. He prayed for his disciples. We have it recorded in John 17. And also for all who would believe, people like you and me. Whether you're here today and you'd count yourself as a follower of Jesus or you're exploring Christianity. And that's great if you are here today and you're open and going, is this God stuff real? And the friends that you've got here, I want to encourage you, keep asking them all those difficult, awkward questions. And, you know, why do you believe that? And why are you into that? And it's great you can be here at Damascus Road and be part of this community. Prayers of submission, of actually bringing his will into line with God's will. Dare I say also, even of anguish, of agony. It says in Luke 22, it says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And I just sense even during the sung worship time earlier, there's some people here, you're going through some tough stuff and you need to know it's okay to be real in prayer. And maybe even for one or two of you, you've been hiding behind the formulas and not being real. But actually, God knows anyway, but he wants you to be real for your sake. He knows anyhow. And maybe for one or two of us today, we need to know that the God to whom we pray is the one who hung on a Roman crucifixion mechanism, on a cross, and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So the one through whom we pray, Jesus Christ, he knows that anguish. He knows that isolation. He knows what it is to experience as if God isn't there. He's the one who calls us to pray. And so if you're in that place, God understands. He understands where you're at today. If you've, even as you're listening to songs, you say, I just can't sing it today. God feels like a million miles away. It's okay to pray that kind of prayer. God hears. And if you're still not convinced of that, read the book of Psalms. Psalm 13, for example, is a lament. I'm just facing some stuff a few weeks ago and just like, God, where are you? And I got to Psalm 13 and it was such a help to pray that and just to cry out to God with that. And as I know you will have touched on a little bit at times in recent weeks, what I've read from Matthew 6, this model for praying. Now, of course, you can pray it as it is. Sometimes I pray the Lord's Prayer just as it is. It's good to do. But actually, for me, this really helps because I don't know. Again, honesty question time. Does anybody here ever have a time when they're praying and their brain just wanders off everywhere? Happen to anyone? Yeah, a few of us are honest. Yeah. Yeah. It's just you start praying and you've gone. Yeah. You're in your dinner or in that work problem or the concert you're going to or the movie you want to watch or whatever. I find the Lord's Prayer is such a help to just bring me back. Not formulaic, but just like, oh, Lord, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, I was trying to honor your name. That's cool. Let's get back to that. I just find it's a real help. So use it as a tool to help you. But not in a sort of mechanical way, not in a really religious way. Because prayer is supposed to be about relationship, not about going through the mechanisms and through the processes and so on. Jesus regularly took time on his own. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And he said, as we read, I read in the passage earlier, that we ourselves, and not to make a big show of prayer, but we're to get, he said, to go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father secretly. And I think the principle here isn't necessarily that you literally have to go into a room and literally have to close the door, because if you don't do that, God's not going to listen to you. You know, that you can't go and sit here by the Mass River because there's no door to shut. You know, you see all these weird Christians walking around with this mobile door, you know, so, okay, they put it in the ground, open it up, go, I'm going to have a time of prayer now, close their door, and they sit on the ground. Now, that would be weird. I'm not suggesting you do that. Okay, so, but it's the principle of getting on our own. Find what works for you. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's going for a bike ride. Maybe it's going for a drive. Please keep your eyes open. Sorry, officer, I was praying for the city. No, don't do that. Find what works for you. And you know, sometimes because we're sleepy, it's just wisdom to get out. Sometimes we're sleepy, we start praying, we fall asleep. Don't feel guilty about it. Maybe you needed the sleep. Yeah? I mean, it was provision for the Lord, you just needed to rest. But find what works for you. For me, we got a golf course near us. There's a path right around it. I walk around there. You know, sometimes if I'm feeling a little bit, Helen, my wife, she'll say, go to your second office, which means go for a walk. And it's just good and just to pray. You know, go for a walk along the canals. Go up to Drelandenpunt and dance around the nations, you know, and, you know, whatever it is. But find somewhere that works for you. And, you know, different seasons will mean different things. I love the story about Susanna Wesley. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, guys who were really used by God in the UK back in 18th century. She had 19 kids altogether. Imagine dedicating all them one morning. Her husband was often away. It was very sensitive of him. And life was incredibly hectic. But she found time to pray. And this is how she did it. When she was going to pray, she had an apron which she put on her head. And all the kids knew, when Mum had the apron on her head, do not disturb. I think she was quite a fierce lady as well, so you wouldn't disturb. Okay, and that's how she found time to pray and to take time to listen to God. And so in a way, I want to say to you today, what is your apron? What is it that's going to help you? Because what's going to help you isn't necessarily what's going to help me, but we can learn from one another. One of the things that never ceases to amaze me sometimes about us, if we say we're Christians, is that we feel it's super spiritual to talk about spiritual things. You know, and so in coffee time, you know, we'll talk about what's going to be on our taste saver or where we're going on holiday or whatever. And all those things are cool, and that's fine to talk about them. But actually, why don't we talk to each other about, hey, what helps you to pray? You know, what helps you to understand the Bible more? What helps you to listen? And we learn from one another, because actually someone else might say something and actually you can, yeah, that's cool. Never thought of doing that. Yeah, I could do that too. And then it helps. Or maybe there's something that you do that actually helps somebody else. And the wonderful thing about being international church, of course, is not just we're all kinds of different personalities, all kinds of different cultural backgrounds as well. And so that really adds into the mix. It's win-win. It's wonderful because you can really learn from each other. Okay, just a few other things. I don't know about you, but I was brought up in a Christian household, and I was taught to have a daily quiet time. And I'm really grateful that I was taught that, but there were also some problems with it, because it could get really twisted into guilt if I didn't do it, or superstition even. Oh no, the day's going to go bad now, because I've not read my Bible, and I've not prayed. That's superstition. That's not organic Christianity. That's not healthy faith in Christ. Or life would be into little compartments. I've done my God bit. Now I can do the day. And actually, God's interested in the whole of our day. Now, of course, you're doing your job, looking after kids. You're doing your studies at the university or the Holger School or wherever. You can't spend your entire day reading the Bible, praying, and saying, I love you, Jesus. You've got your stuff you've got to do. Of course you have. Otherwise, you're going to get sacked or thrown off your course, or your kids are going to get neglected. But if we see prayer is part of the whole of our lives. And see in a wholesome way, that's far more healthy. See, I think it's great to connect with God every day, but not out of religion, not out of duty. I love my wife. I love being with Helen. It's pretty weird if I go, oh, I won't bother talking to her today. You know, I know she's there, but it's like, ah, we won't bother communicating. And I think it's the way to see it with prayer as well. It's not like, I have to talk to my wife because it's my duty. I've made marriage vows. I must speak to her. She's my friend. And I love being with her. And so that's weird. And I know there's a slight difference because, let's face it, God is invisible. Yeah, so that sometimes makes it difficult, if we're honest, don't we? We think, okay, that's not quite the same as a human relationship. But he is real. He's revealed who he is through his word. And we can sense him when we gather together, for example. So go for that daily connection. But just a few last little practical tips I want to suggest as we draw towards a close. Firstly, it's all right to say to God, I'm rubbish at praying. Because he knows anyway. You know? He's even put it in the Bible. It says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we ought to. So it's there in the Bible. So there's permission to actually say, I don't know how to pray. God, help me. Why is it that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Our Father in heaven, where he gave them that model to help because he knows what we're like. And the Holy Spirit, amongst other many wonderful things that he does in our lives, convicting us of wrong, showing us that we belong to Christ, giving us spiritual gifts, fruit of the Spirit, like peace and patience and love and joy and so on. He also helps us to pray. So it's okay to ask him for help. You know, if you're up on that hill on a Tuesday or a Thursday morning, you're feeling really sleepy and maybe it's raining. Oh, of course, it never rains in Maastricht, does it? So it's okay. Well, we get rain and things in Leiden, and it's cold and dark and miserable sometimes. And you're in a prayer and you think, oh, Lord, I feel so exhausted. I don't know how to pray. You can ask him to help you and trust and believe that he will. Maybe you can use the Bible to help you pray. There's loads of prayers in the Bible, the book of Psalms. John 17, Jesus' prayer for his disciples. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. Often I use prayers from there to pray for our church. And I don't know how to pray, but I think, well, that's good stuff. I can use that to help. Can't far go wrong, really, if you're using something like that. I want to encourage us all to see prayer, and all the things you've been talking about the past few weeks, as relational. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this, our Father. He didn't say, pray our great, almighty, wonderful creator who is beyond all imagination, who is transcendent above all and great and wonderful and awesome and full of holiness, and no man can see your face. All of that is true. But he said, pray our Father, Abba. Abba. It's such a beautiful word. And to hear, for example, in a Jewish family, to hear a little kid crying out to their dad, Abba. Abba. You know, maybe because they've fallen over. Abba! Yeah? Aren't we like that sometimes? God! Yeah? Where are you? Oh, no, you don't have that happen to you. I have that happen to me. Yeah, Lord, where are you? Yeah? It's what he calls us to. Variety, experimenting. Some people, for example, they write prayers out. Well, that sounds weird. It's called the Book of Psalms. So? Learn to listen. Take time to listen. To actually be still. Can I dare you say that there's a wonderful app on your iPhone. It's called the off button. And the world will not cease to happen if it goes off. Turn it off sometimes. Yeah? And it's great to have a phone on our Bible. That'd be good. Yeah, just texting my wife, Fire Matthew. It's good to have a Bible on our phone. I've got a Bible on my phone. Sometimes it's good to have a paper one. If you're not that disciplined, you're reading Matthew. Ooh, it's an email. I'll I'll go there. You know, but find times to be to listen. Some of us make it so complicated to hear God. And one of the key down-to-earth things we've got to do is shut us up and listen. Take time to listen. Maybe have a journal to write things down, things that you sense God is saying. Because you see, again, if in my relationship with Helen, I just talk, I never listen to her, it's not a relationship. It's a monologue. It's a rant. Yeah? I've got to hear her heart. The Lord wants to speak to us as well. And that's a huge theme, and I'll leave Matt and everyone else to explain how to do that. So some of you maybe you want to use a prayer book. It's one of the things we use. We use a prayer book to help us sometimes called the Divine Hours. It sounds very sort of deep and mystical, doesn't it? And the lady's called Phyllis Tickle. It's a wonderful name. So you think she needs reading just because of her name. But that helps us. Maybe put prayer prompts into your life. Maybe I help you have a prayer list. Maybe something each day that you pray for. I use that. It helps me. Well, when I haven't lost it, I quite often lose them. I have to write a new one. But that's okay. But ways to focus. Get your phone to flash at you. Quite often people say to me, will you pray for me? Pray about a situation. So I just type it in my phone as an appointment to flash up every day or every other day. And it's, oh yeah, pray for so-and-so, you know? Or I have one, or flash actually in about 25 minutes. And it says, take a few minutes to reconnect. And that just helps me. It reminds me, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. So yeah, it's a busy day. Hi, God. And sometimes I ignore it. I don't always, but at least it's there. It's getting it and it's prompting me to think, oh yeah, you know, God's with me in this day. Or use landmarks. This is something my wife taught me when she still is a school teacher, but when we lived in England, she used to drive around this ring road to get to work, and there would be different landmarks along the way she'd associate with a particular person. So when she saw this particular sign, she'd pray for her friend Vanessa, for example. And just find ways to be creative. And we're all different. For some of us, that just wouldn't work. You know, we're lost in listening to Sky Radio, so it's just never going to happen. But, you know, but find what's going to work and what's going to help you. And lastly, as a draw to a close, coming back to the meal idea. You know, it's not always good to eat on your own. Praying with others is good too. Jesus taught the importance of personal connection with God, and that's vital. No one else can do that for you. But actually praying together is important too. The book of Acts is full of it. The letters we have in the New Testament are full of it. And sometimes we're in a place in life, maybe it feels really tough. Actually, we need to pray with others because we're finding it almost impossible on our own. I don't know if you've ever had moments like that. I have. And just to be able to know that you can pray with other people, or even just be with some other people who are praying, that can be a great help. And I wrote this sentence down, just a thought as a draw to a close. When it comes to food, others can't eat for you, but it can help to be eating in others' company. And it's the same with prayer. Others, in one sense, can't do your praying for you, though they can pray for you. But actually, sometimes it's really important and really good and really helpful that we pray for, we pray along with others. So I'm not saying it's personal prayer or it's group prayer. Both are important. But what I'm going to do is encourage you today, and I'm going to pray and I'll hand back to Matt, is in all of these past weeks, if you've been looking at prayer, is to be open, maybe in a fresh way, of how can it be new? How can it be renewed? Because we all know we're supposed to pray. And some of us, maybe we find it easier than others. But actually, it's an invitation. This says, and when you pray, you could view that and think, oh no, it's another command I can't keep. Or we could actually see it as an invitation from our Father God to say, come and connect with me. And I think it's far healthier to view it that way. Let's just pray together. Lord, I thank you for opportunity to worship together today. And Lord, I ask that in this coming week, in our workplaces, and our study courses, in our families, whatever it is that we're doing, Lord God, that you'd help us to find fresh ways to connect with you. Lord, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you for the different personalities. I thank you for the different nationalities. And Lord, all of that wonderful flavor that brings to this congregation. Lord, I thank you that Damascus Road International Church isn't just a roast dinner every Sunday. Lord God, there is wonderful variety. And Lord, I thank you for everyone here. Lord, for anybody particularly who is struggling, Lord God, either they were on the prayer list earlier or maybe they're struggling with things that no one else knows about here. Lord, I ask that your fresh encouragement will come. Lord, I thank you for each other. And Lord, thank you for who you are. And Lord, we need your help to pray. And Lord, as we approach this Christmas time and we think again of the incredible miracle of the incarnation, of you becoming a human being, Lord, help us to encounter you in a fresh way, Lord. In your name, amen.